Amen. One of my favorite times of year, actually, is Christmas Eve. I started a tradition years ago. Oftentimes, traditions are made to be broken. Sometimes they're redundant. Sometimes they're portrayed as something very, very holy and special and actually, you know, tradition by man. But I thought, what better way to honor God and honor His birth than by reading from His book? And I went through, and I know that the Christmas story, if you try to find it in Matthew, is not complete. If you read it in Luke, it's not complete. And I began putting it together in chronological order. And actually, you can't read through all of one and then read through all of the other and have it chronologically. You'll be totally confused. Matthew told it as it was inspired to him by the Lord. I believe that. And so did Luke. And so what I've tried to do was go back and forth in chronological order where it would make sense. And then also I love this time of year because we get to dispel the myth, several myths of the Christmas story. The manger, the stable, the wise men, and all of those kinds of things. It's not anything that's secret. You could research it, find it for yourself. And now I think there's even, years ago, there was not anything necessarily written other than some of the historians like Josephus, who was a Jew himself, but wrote of the history of his day and time, and wrote as it was told him by some of the eyewitnesses during those days, handed down from person to person, and truly enlightens us greatly as to the dealings of the Romans and much of the customs and the clarity of the stories that go on there. It's vitally important to us. And I mentioned Josephus, the historian, one time, and one of our self-proclaimed Bible scholar women rebuffed me and said something very harsh about Josephus. And I thought that that was quite out of order, but nevertheless, we put things together. There is a secular history, there's a religious history, and there's the Bible. We take the Bible 100%. Some of history we have to be careful of depending upon the witnesses. For example, Catholicism will slant their history to make it appear as though they never had an Inquisition that actually put to death almost 50 million martyrs. They will deny that completely. But those 50 million were our forefathers that would not give up on baptism by immersion and baptism by the authority that was not invested in Rome, but was invested in the local churches all the way through the Dark Ages. And people were burned at the stake and fed to lions, and their children were thrown over cliffs simply because they would not swear allegiance to the Catholic faith or to the Pope or to the bishops and cardinals that were ruling in that day and age, many of whom were wretched and vile and evil and had those positions appointed to them, and they were using it as a means of making money and of living fat on the land when many others were starving to death. Now, that's history. And so what you find here in God's Word is plainly what God wants you to have. Oftentimes, God's word is as a mystery. A man who is not a child of God can read the Bible and not fully understand it. God made it that way because it is spiritually understood. It is spiritually discerned. When you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and He teaches you and guides you through the Scriptures, and you get understanding and from the preaching and teaching of others. And so I think possibly, you know, Luke was a physician. He had important issues that, and ideas and circumstances that he wrote from, Matthew gives us the lineage of Jesus Christ back to King David. Luke gives it to us all the way back to Adam and Eve. Luke is concerned with the human aspect, and Matthew concerned with the kingly aspect, and you find that to be so. I point out a few things, and then when we begin to read, I won't make commentary at all. But I point out a few things again. If you've been in these services before, you've heard me mention it. But we have young people. Who's going to teach the young ones if we don't bring it back and forth? Sometimes the light just goes on in our eyes. Make mention of it in Luke chapter number 1. You find it speaking about Mary having been a virgin, or is a virgin at the time, and that the Holy Spirit would come over her and she would be with child in a supernatural way. The virgin birth is better understood by us and highly understood by us when we recognize and understand what happened to us when we were born again. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says that it's the washing of regeneration that the Holy Spirit brings upon us, upon our spirit, not upon our body, not upon our soul, but upon our spirit, where he makes a dead spirit alive. Ephesians talks about us being dead in trespasses and sins. I think when the life enters us, we know it. And some people say, well, I don't remember my experience. Others say, well, it was like flashing lights that went off. And others say it was like I was walking on a cloud when I got saved. And others, it's not the experience that saved you. If your experience is not like someone else's, doesn't mean you're not saved. Everyone's experience could be different, but the new birth is what is vital, that you know that it took place. Someone asked the evangelist Gypsy Smith, is it Gypsy Smith, how he knew he was saved. He said, well, because I was there when it happened. And I think that's true with most of us. We might not have been able to explain it at the time exactly what happened, but when we trusted Christ, something took place. We know something took place. It was life that was placed within us. Same thing happened to Mary, the virgin birth. And now I understand the virgin birth more properly, that if it's a supernatural act. However, if the Holy Spirit can make life happen in a dead spirit of an unregenerate person when they trust Jesus Christ, then it's not a big situation for him to touch the empty womb of a virgin with the same process and cause life to begin there. And that's exactly what took place. So we find that in Luke chapter 1, down about verse 35. And I wrote in the margin of my Bible that this is possible the same way it's possible for you to be born again. It's all in that situation. I wanted to point out a few things before I started reading. In chapter 2 of Luke, in verses 3, 4, and 5, you find that Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth, but Jesus was prophesied to be from Bethlehem, a specific Bethlehem. And providence brought him not to be born in Nazareth, but to be born in Bethlehem, from whence King David originated. There it is. You find back in the book of Matthew, in chapter 1, he's come through the lineage of Jesus, and you find, as I stated before, Matthew was concerned about carrying the lineage of Christ back to King David, showing that he was heir to the throne of David, which he will sit upon in the thousand-year reign and rule and reign, of course, over all of humanity. You find in verse 22, all this was done that it might be fulfilled by the which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, so on. 700 years before Christ was born, Jeremiah or Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, that a virgin would be with child and he would be the leader and the ruler of the world. So this was 700 years before his birth was actually prophesied in Isaiah. I think we went over that last Sunday. In chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8, Herod was diligently interested when the wise men came as to what time of year or how many years or what months and so on they saw the sign of this king of Israel so that he could determine the baby's age. That was vitally important because he was about to put to death all of those children around that age in order to rid his country of the rightful king. And he thought that he would do that in a special way. While we're here, the wise men, I read stories of that in the histories of Josephus and others, and it's just an amazing thing, the respect that those men had. Wise men, they're called magicians, they're called wise men, they're called magi. It was more or less a fraternity kind of situation, and many of them came from different walks of life, I think, but they were very learned individuals, astrologers, astronomers, all kinds of things, doctors, perhaps even lawyers of that day and age. I'm not sure, maybe medical doctors of some sort, but they were very learned individuals, and their peculiar mode of travel would give them away. They always rode white mules or white camels. White. Now, if you've seen camels by, you know, very many of them, how many of them have you seen that were white? Very few. And so it was a mark upon the Magi that they rode the white camels and or the mules wherever they went. And they were recognized. Most of the time, the robbers, thieves, and murderers left them alone because of who they were. But we're not told there were three wise men from the east that came. We're told they gave three gifts. The Bible doesn't say there was three. There probably was over 100 of them, probably more than 100 that showed up. But they gave three kinds, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we assume there were three wise men. That's not so. And so why did it cause such a big stir? When Herod saw them coming and people began to come before the king into his court and tell him of this entourage that was arriving in Jerusalem, why did it make such a fuss? If there was only three guys that showed up, how is that such a big deal? But if there's 100 or more, oh, now you have a situation because those 100 were rich men and they had servants that rode after them and took care of them. And they had provisions that were being carried by other mules and other camels. This was a big deal. This was a big stir in Jerusalem in this day and time. And so you find them there. You also did not find the wise men worshiping Jesus in the stable. They came to the house almost 2 years after his birth. And so a lot of our tradition today really doesn't have a foundation. Someone put it all together and jumbled it all up, and we just believed it, you know, as it was and went on. The other thing, you've heard me speak about it repeatedly, is the manger. The first instance I had of a manger that I remember, I was probably 7, 8 years old, and Dad told me, he said, put the hay in the manger and put the corn in the box. And we had just bought a farm, and it had a big barn on it that they used to put horses in that plowed the fields before we got there and did all of that. and there was a what they called the box was a crib, and we'd put corn in there, and the horses would eat out of that, or cows, whatever. And then the hay was a slanted box that would allow them to eat the hay out of that manger. And it would hold the hay and keep them from stomping on it, and they could eat out of it and keep it clean and so on. But that was a manger. And so in the Far East, we have this idea of a wooden box or a wooden manger where we put the hay that Jesus was born in. That's not necessarily the right picture. That where he was born was a cave, and had an entryway, and the sheep were allowed into the cave at night to protect them, and they would bring boards or planks or trees or thorny shrubs before the door, and the porter or the shepherd would keep watch at night to make sure no wolves or any bears came in to get his sheep. But they had one end of that cave separated by some kind of a partition, a fence, maybe stones, where the animals could not get behind it. And this is where they kept their grain and where they stored their hay in order to feed their animals. More than likely, the Bible says Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus were in the manger. And so more than likely, now that you see that picture, you understand they were behind the animals, and they were in this zone back here where the hay and the grain was being kept for them. So a lot of things, but it becomes very clear when we begin to think about it and pray about it. And, I've stated without Without being disrespectful, I've said oftentimes that the new birth is exactly like the virgin birth that took place with Mary. The same author, the same father, the Holy Spirit gave birth to the egg in Mary's womb, gave life to it. He gives life to our dead spirit. He's our life giver, our father, and so we have the life of God in us, and we are related to the humanity of Jesus Christ, and the fact that it was the life of God in the womb of Mary that made it happen and made it possible. And so there's a scripture that says we are brethren, and I believe that, and that's not being disrespectful, but that's very vital and very true. Okay. It won't take long to read, but I enjoy reading from the Word of the Lord, the inspired Word and all the greatness of it. We'll pray and then begin to read. I'm not going to announce where I am. I don't want to take away from everything. But I shall begin in Luke chapter 1, and then I'll go back to Matthew chapter 1, and back and forth, and follow that sequence until we finish. Father, we're grateful to be here tonight and so honored by the love that you give to us because you loved us and have compassion upon us and want to be in close fellowship with us. You gave us your Son, Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, our Savior, and our King, our brother. We respect him. We love him. We love you. We pray that you be with us tonight as we honor you. We honor your plan. We honor your Son. We honor all that you do. We recognize that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. We recognize that our jobs, our homes, our families are given us by you. We recognize that we are nothing without you. We recognize your power, your unction, your zeal. We pray now tonight you'll fellowship with us and manifest yourself to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed. For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses was accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. They said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over the young child, where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. End of the story, but not the end of the end. Just the beginning, huh? Thank God this young child that escaped the hands of Herod and was worshipped by the wise men grew up and filled his destiny of dying as a sacrifice for you and I. And he went away back into heaven. And his last words were, "I'm coming again for you." Thank God for that. I live daily thinking this could be the day. This could be the day. Oh my, this could be the day. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Jesus came tonight? One thought is that the time that Jesus was born, scholars tell me, was February or March. It was spoken of as the sixth month. Oftentimes, those months in the Jewish calendar overlapped one of our months, and so it would become part of one and part of another on the Jewish calendar. So, not quite sure, but sometime in February or March, the sixth month of the Jewish calendar would have been February or March. Wonderful story. I love the word of the Lord. I get discouraged at times. I get down in the mouth like a lot of you in different times. And just because you're a preacher doesn't mean you're above problems. But I always find such a salve when I go to the book and begin to read. And the Lord begins to fellowship with me. There's so much within the book of the Lord. It's a living book, and so it's able to take care of every problem that we have on the face of the earth, and God's able to speak to us through it, and I enjoy that so very much, and so thankful to the Lord for the book that He's given us. Not everything that God knows, certainly, but enough that I'll never learn it all written here in the pages of the book, the great book. All right. As is customary, if you're able, I'd love for you to come down front as we get ready to dismiss tonight. If you'll go ahead and stand, I would really like for you to come down front. It gives us a closeness, and we're able to fellowship for just a moment after our prayer. And I want to have a special prayer and ask God to bless us this coming year. So make your way down front if you're able, and we'll have that prayer time together. What a closeness. This is part of my family right here. You've been born again? So have I. We're born again by the same life. If I get it right, after the rapture resurrection, when we get a new body and we're living with the Lord, no longer will the blood be the life of the body. It'd be the Spirit of God will be the life of the body from then on. A perfect body, perfect mind, perfect spirit. Can you imagine what it'd be like being in the Lord's presence every single moment of every single day? No sunrise, sunset. It doesn't get hotter at noon in heaven than it does early morning. It'd be constant. No sun there. Except the S-O-N sun. What are we going to do, preacher? I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But the Lord will have us busy. You and I are going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. So I know He's got to teach us what He wants us to do. His emissaries. There will be people on the face of the earth that will not accept Him in that 1,000 years. Proving that Satan is not the author of every bad deed that happens. Because he'll be locked up. But people will still deny the Lord. people will still be lost at the end of 1,000 years. And you and I will rule and reign, teaching, guiding, pointing to the Savior, pointing to the King. And yet people still reject. Hey, I look forward to it. So our relationship here and now will actually carry over when we get to be with the Lord. We're not just our own entities, our own families. We are family, the family of God. And it'll be vital when we get there. I'm looking forward to it. Such an occasion, such a perfectness. Let's pray.